Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, first of all, everybody, I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, April the 17th of 2023. I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan. And it's great to be with you as in much of America, it's back to April as usual. In a lot of places, April cooler than usual. I know here today where I live, we kind of fell down on our face as 2 days ago we were at 85 degrees and today we're at 41. So we are essentially at, in positive numbers, we are at less than half of what we were 2 days ago, less than half. We can't really say weather-wise we're totally less than half because that doesn't account for all the negative numbers that you can have, you know. So it makes sense that I said only based on positive numbers. I don't know why we're echoing a little bit, but we are. And by the way, this is not the Lion King. This is not the Lion King, like that part where that kid says, "Oh, somebody. No, this is not the Lion King. The original Lion King, if you watched that movie, it was actually a well-done movie. I thought it was pretty great, like the music in it and stuff was pretty on point. I did watch the 2019, but I have to say the 94 one was better. Believe it or not, Jade, I don't know if you remember this, but in one summer, Disney tried to make two of the greats from the 1990s. They had actually also remade Aladdin. You remember that one when they remade both of those movies in the same summer?
I do. That was an amazing summer.
But I have to say this. Both of those movies, though, their originals were still better. Both of them.
I think original movies always are better.
Why is that?
Because they're the original.
But with some of these Disney ones, the old ones were not a little better, but way better.
Why do you think that?
Well, I don't know. I will say some of the music was better in the 90s ones because of, like, the different things they have put in it of making these blockbuster films and, like, how, and like the different music numbers that Disney was doing at the time with some of these movies, like Beauty and the Beast with Be Our Guest, and also the Notre Dame one from The Hunchback of Notre Dame from 96. And, Beauty and the Beast, 91. Lion King, you know, these, they did some really good music, too, in those movies. They did, I actually like to call it DSO, Disney Symphony Orchestra, from back in the 90s, the way they did some of those movies, like some of those different music numbers. The ones they redid for the movies that they remade, Lion King and Aladdin, weren't the same. They weren't the same.
I think they really are.
I don't think they're as good. Lex would tell you. They're not. Me and Lex have a collection now in her car of these three different CDs of classic Disney music that the album came out in 1996, and it goes to like the best ones of 1996 and prior. And you have different songs from classics like the Little Mermaid,
which is my personal favorite.
Did they and I think they're in the process of remaking it right now.
They sure are, a live action. I'm gonna be there.
The music better be as good as that one, or at least close.
Oh, you know it better be, because I'm gonna be belting it out. Are you gonna sing with me?
Yeah, maybe some under the sea. Maybe some I want to be where the people are, but for me it's a different reason than for her, because her it's about a specific party.
Yeah, what's your reason?
My reason is because it's cool. Like, that's why, part of why 12 years running, I went to one of the busiest shopping malls in the state on Black Friday. And apparently I've been told that some years on Black Friday itself, it actually was the number one busiest.
Really?
Specifically, Great Lakes Crossing. That one.
You know, I think Black Fridays could the shoppers for those could definitely make that an actual sport. They could have, you know, live streaming, people talking about who's getting who and what granny pushed what other granny out of the way for they're looking for.
The little Black Friday Granny Awards.
Yeah. Oh man, can you imagine?
Black Friday Grammys.
Yeah. Oh yes, Grammys for Black Friday.
Except for if you weren't in a metro. I was told that Black Friday wasn't that great if you were not in a metro this past year.
Probably not, because the metros have the good stuff. They got all the big deals. Getting the people into the stores.
Or at least into the malls, because two of the three malls that I was at down in Detroit, they were busier, like a little bit busier than what they had been the previous year, 2021. And keep in mind, both of those years were in fact unrestricted, as far as you didn't have to wear a face diaper, you didn't have to social distance, you didn't have to, you know, not sit in the food court. I remember the one year 2020, I went into Great Lakes Crossing. There were people sitting on benches in the food court trying to eat, but none of the tables were there. And I told some people, they laughed when I said this. I said, you can thank Bill Gates for this. Because
did they laugh? They did.
Because I was blaming Bill Gates. We don't want to end the episode.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
You did not end the episode, I don't think.
Oh, good. I didn't mean to.
Okay. All you did was press the one. Oh. I think we're good. We're just checking to make sure. But truth be told, honestly, I did because in case you folks didn't know, Bill Gates is part of, you know, he's been part of, you know, this whole thing that's been going on. He was behind some of the COVID stuff. You had heard that, right?
I had heard that.
That he, along with, you know, some other people that will be nameless. They laughed. I hope they were laughing because they were agreeing. Because usually, that place on Black Friday, that food court is jammed, like 97% at least.
That's crazy.
Part of why I love it. But anyhow, as they say, whatever floats your goat, your boat, whatever floats your boat. Meaning, like, it's up to you, because because I had figured that out even in middle school. You know, and even before that, that whenever someone says, like, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? And then they say whatever floats your boat. That kind of means, like, it's up to you. You know what I mean? That's why I say whatever floats your boat. You've heard that before, haven't you?
I have heard that.
That's kind of their way of saying, it's up to you. I'm not driving, you know?
Meaning, have you ever wondered where that saying came from?
Where did it come from?
I have no idea. That's why I wonder.
I don't know where that came from. I'm kind of curious, to be honest with you. But I do want to let you guys know something. So yesterday morning, Gary Smith, minister of my church, he was preaching, and he was basically saying, I don't know if you've been watching the stuff with Israel, but Israel, there's all these countries lined up against them, and they're all for Iran, and they're on every side. If wrong buttons get pushed, Armageddon, right away. Folks, we're in the last of the last days. We really are. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to have you, prayed up. We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. Could be, you know, next week, or it could be in 20, 30 years. But even our country, America, needs prayer. And I've been listening on Sunday nights, almost every Sunday night for the past 14 months or so, to this Bill Cunningham, the great American Bill Cunningham. He does a nationally syndicated show on Sunday nights from the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio. I have fun listening to him. He's not the greatest comedian of all necessarily, but I do enjoy, like, the way he just tells everything for what it is. And he's mentioned the amount of people, like, that have some kind of faith, meaning that they call anything, meaning that they bother, you know, that they have religion, whether it's, you know, to Jesus or to some, or whether they're Muslim or whether they're, you know, some other, you know, so-called God. I say so-called God because there's really only one true God, and that's Jehovah. But the amount of people that claim to be religious based on a certain, you know, American survey that's done every 25 years showed less than half of them were religious. The amount of religious went down by half. From 70% in 1998 to 34% now. That's scary, isn't it?
It's extremely scary.
Another thing. The amount of people that say that they're patriotic, that they love America, that went from like over 70% to like 50%.
Now, why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. I don't know why that's the case. The amount of people that said that at some, between 18 to 39, that said they, 18 to 34, that said they wanted to get married, it was at like 70%. Now it's like 30%. The amount that said they wanted to have children went way down also. The only thing that went up was the amount that said they wanted to make lots of money, and that went from 7% in 1998 to over 90% now. What is that a sign of, Miracle Man? That is the sign of an America that needs Jesus. It is the sign of an America that needs revival. It is the sign of an America that is one limping, dying, sick puppy. That's what it's a sign of to me. And I love the way he'll come on and, you know, talk about the issues, and he'll have guests on that big show that he does on Sunday nights between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Usually I'll catch it between 10 and about midnight. I stay up a little bit later on Sunday night so I can at least get to midnight. And generally late at night you can catch the great 700 WLW. You had never heard of that station, had you?
I have not.
It's one of the stations that you can hear the farthest in America, and I've always thought it would be cool to get to meet, you know, one of the show hosts there from that station, maybe even Bill himself. During the day, they do a lot more like local-based stuff, and then they have the Reds, but they've always had good commercials there. Since if you've been to Cincinnati, it's one of those areas like that has kind of a mix of everything. But that, I think part of that is because of where it is geographically. It's kind of just about on that Mason-Dixon line. Actually, have you ever heard Jade of Boone County jokingly being referred to as its own state?
You know, I think I have heard that, but I don't know why they say that.
It's because, I wonder if that's because it is the number one northernmost county in the state of Kentucky.
And is it really large?
Well, it's one of the bigger counties in the state, but I guess in certain ways it's kind of been seen as a battleground of North versus South, kind of, but not necessarily politically speaking, as it's not, that county is not a bellwether county. It is a county that is generally leaned Republican for a very long time, including recently. Because you were going to say for various things, it was kind of considered like its own state. Had you heard that for certain things, it was kind of considered a battleground, but not politics?
I did, like, a long time ago, but not recently.
How was it a battleground, like food-wise and stuff?
You know, that phrase can be used for so many things, and I haven't learned a lot about it, so I'm not sure.
But you did know that it was not necessarily a battleground politically, but in other ways.
Yeah.
So, because you were going to say you did know that as the county is concerned, that county was actually a fairly red one, one of the more cruelly red suburban counties.
Yep. I have heard that. So yep. maybe the battlefield is the...
Like in other ways.
Yeah.
North versus South.
Yeah.
Not R versus D.
Correct.
So like in some ways, like it... So that's why they've kind of jokingly said it's the 51st state is Boone County, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's a joke among the truckers or something maybe. And here's why I can say... If you're in a part of Boone County, if I go to the west, I'm in Indiana. If I go to the east, I'm in that state to the south. That other state to the south, you know, Ohio. If I go to the north, I'm in Ohio. If I go to the south, you're actually in, then you stay in Kentucky. So it's kind of, maybe that's kind of what they're referring to, part of it. Because when you had heard of it, it was while you were trucking, wasn't it? The Boone County thing?
Yeah, most definitely.
That's kind of where the joke was more so, like that, you know, it was among the truckers.
Yep, that's exactly what I heard.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was based on the truckers. That kind of makes sense, because someone had even wrote a book about it. And I know one of the ways I can confirm that is, you know, down there in Florence, which is in Boone County, they have a mall along 75. It is actually called Florence Mall, but there's a water tower right there on I-75. And it says Florence Y'all, like with a southern twang. It literally says Florence Y'all. There's folklore around that. There's folklore around it as to why that happened. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that sign said Florence Mall when the mall was in the process of being built and had not yet been open. Kentucky state law says that can't be advertising something that, you know, something that's not quite opened yet. So they had to paint a Y over the M, and then they put that apostrophe in there. When the mall opened, they figured it would be too much work to replace that Y back to an M. So that's why the story of that Florence Y'all Tower is still alive. And it's still there for thousands, tens of thousands of drivers a day. Very busy stretch of 75. If you're paying attention when you're about, you know, 9-10 miles south of Cincinnati, you would see it. Yeah, you would see that tower. Okay. I want to remind you of a couple quick things that I always try to remind my listeners about. Item number one, the book Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life. It's the story of how great God's been, how he's always been there for me. And here's the thing, and all the, you know, how he's done different healings in me and different and it's been awesome. It's been awesome being born again. It really has. So we have that. Oh, also, you get some of my mother's testimony to go with it. So you're essentially, when you buy the book, you're essentially getting a two-for-one deal. It's like you're getting two testimonies for the price of one.
And hearing those two testimonies have led me to have a testimony of myself.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So it's like you get a two for one. It's like you get a two for one. And tomorrow night we'll have that with us. And then tonight, when we get into the word, listeners, I'm going to talk tonight about restoration, about how God wants to restore us, and so that's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. And so
now, Rivers, before you move on to something else, you know, I've read that book that you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
And it's an amazing book. It really is. It touched my life. Where can our listeners, your listeners, find that book?
They can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com. I know it kind of sounds like my name, but instead of Rivers with a Y, like my actual last name, it is actually Rivers with an I, like an actual river. But in that river, instead of water, there's actually miracles. by the way, that whole water thing, that's a Mark Lowry thing for you. If you've ever heard of Mark Lowry, he's a great comedian. I actually first heard of him back in December. Good, clean comedy. Love it. He's awesome. But that's beside the point, so I'm off of that now. But in reality, go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, rivers with an I, ofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, to buy the book, so the book can be a blessing into your life. I want the book to be a blessing into your life. And I pray that as you read the book, it can increase your faith and it can help you understand not only, you know, what I've faced and what God, not only like what I've faced, but also what God has brought me and my family through. But hopefully it'll show that, guess what? God can get, I hope that for you, the listener, you can see as you read the book, you know, God can get me through this stuff that I'm dealing with, because here's the deal. If you live on earth, you're going to go through some stuff. If you live on the planet earth, you are going to go through some stuff. And let me tell you, it's not always going to be pretty. Some of it will not be pretty. It won't. Ever since, you know, Adam, he sinned. It's not always pretty, but sorry, I was just taking a little sip of water. but anyhow, just one of the ways that some people over in Europe say water.
Water.
Sometimes they'll say water. But nonetheless, so now it's an awesome book, and you can read the book and you can have it be a blessing into your life. The other thing I want to remind you about very quickly is the PayPal. And if this show has been a blessing into your life, and I pray, that it's been a blessing into your life, as we've been doing this now for 5.5 years. Guess what, folks? In just over 3 months, it'll be 6 years. 6 years since we launched this, literally. And I thank the Lord for what he's done with this. And I just know that he's going to keep growing it and growing it. And more people are going to find out about it. And it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it and seeing what God has for it. I really am. I really do. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. And when you do that, you can go on. And when you get on that website, paypal.com, in the search bar, you'll see a search bar. And in the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla. S-A-Q-L-A. KLA. Keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like for you to keep in mind is that the first star in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. Please make a note of that if you would, kindly. And as you sow your seeds, I always pray over your seeds. And that's an awesome thing.
Now, Rivers, I don't want to be butting in, but I'm kind of new to some of this terminology. If we have some listeners out there that don't exactly know or they're a little new to it as well, what do you mean when you say sow their seed?
By sowing their seed, that means like sow an offer. That means like you sow a seed out of your own heart. Obviously, as this is not a church, I do not do like what you do in a local church. I do not come up there and say, all right, we're going to take an offer. But when you sow your seed, that means like through giving, you know, money. But rather than just calling it giving money, I like to call it sowing seed.
All right, so it's kind of like a gift from their heart to.
It's from your heart, and you're sowing towards something that you're believing for God to do, and it's always. And if you're saying, you know, you're sowing seed, it's good to have in mind, what am I sowing it for? What am I believing God for? And that's always a great way to truly sow seed, and that way there's, you know, a purpose. Behind it, a purpose behind it, so that it's not like you're just, you know, giving money to another, you know, to another purpose, another person, another, you know, but it not only helps keep us going, but
so it's a great way to give from the heart to. Keep this radio show going to reach lots of people and hopefully get the name of the Lord out into many homes and many hearts, right?
And of course it also gets the show out, of course, the Miracle Man Show, of course.
Which is, of course, awesome.
But nonetheless, I am going to bring you a verse before I sing a couple of songs, a verse based on the giving or not. And the one I want to give to you tonight is, Where it says, therefore he who soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And some of your listeners might know, what do you mean sparingly, bountifully? Oh, sparingly, that means it's not based necessarily on just a tiny amount. It's not based on, oh, you had $100 and you only sold one. It's more based on the percentage. It's because look at the lady. Look at the lady. In the Bible, who that widow, who even though she was in severe poverty. She put in the offering all that she had to live on. When all these other people were giving huge offerings. They were bringing huge offerings. But these people had lots to give. Some of these people had lots to give to begin with. And so
I love that story showing how it's all in what's in your heart.
It's based on your heart.
Yeah,
your heart.
It doesn't matter to God if you're giving $10,000 or $10. It's the love.
Or a penny.
Yeah, or a penny. It's the love in your heart that you want to give to Him.
And it's that heart that he looks on, not like, oh, you could have gave, you know, $1,000. But you only put in a quarter or, you know, 10. You could have put in, and then you, it's based on, but it's based on, he looks on the heart, not strictly on the amount of money that you put in the, that you either put in the bucket or you give online or, you know, the different ways that you can give your offering in these days, because it's a great thing. But this bountifully means like above and beyond. But whether you sow sparingly or bountifully, you're going to reap accordingly. It's going to be according to that, and that's going to mean like what kind of blessings you're going to get. You want big blessing? There might be some times where you might have to stretch. If you want a little bit of blessing, maybe you don't have to stretch some. Maybe, you know, so it's like you want, so it's like you want to get blessed. And so that's what it depends on. And I always pray over these seeds when you sow your seeds. I always pray over them. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord has for us.
What song are you going to sing, Rivers?
Well, I'm going to sing a couple different ones. I'm going to sing Your Love Never Fails and Also There's Joy. But first, Your Love. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. Why did my phone go off? That's not a song. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. No. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Thank you, Jesus. You opened the prison doors. You parted the raging sea. My God will always make a way. You open the, we sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who always makes a way. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung up on that cross. He rose up on that. He rose up from the grave. My God, who always makes a way. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, redeemed, redeemed by his grace. He let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are the resurrected, forgiven, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 oh. Thank you, Jesus, that we have joy unspeakable. We have joy unspeakable, no matter what it is that we face in this life. You're always there for us. You're always there for us, you know, when we're feeling down and we're going through stuff. You're always there for us. You're always parting raging seas, calming raging seas, parting red seas. You're just the miracle working Jesus. And I thank you for that and for what you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord God, for that you're moving in our midst right now. And I speak to these storms of life right now that are coming against these listeners, whatever they may be, sicknesses, diseases, and whatever may be holding them back, whether it be sins, habits, strongholds, addictions, I don't know. But I do know, Lord Jesus, that you have these people in the palm of your hand. And I thank you for what you're doing in them and for them. And I thank you for our time in the Word tonight as we study your Word. And I just thank you that every listener will get from this Word what you have for them as they pay attention and turn off distractions. And I thank you for that in your name, Jesus. And I thank you that you're meeting each and every need represented by these listeners, because you know what they have need of, even when I don't. And I thank you that you're doing that for them. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come in, that finances come in, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amounts of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me in your Bible, please, if you have it, or an app, or a Bible with or a phone, or you got a device with the Bible app on it. Go to Jeremiah 30. not an app with a device on it. A device with an app on it. If your app is bigger than your device, I don't know what to tell you. But praise God. Jeremiah 30. I'm going to begin with verse 1. We're going to talk about Miracle Man. I'm going to talk about God the Restorer. He wants to restore us. And so I'm going to begin with verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all of the words that I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people, Israel and Judah, back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess,
7:19
p.m. says the Lord. These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard. Terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach, like a woman in labor? Uh-oh. Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. None will like it. And no day will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off of their necks and will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord, their God, and David, their king, whom I will raise up for them. So do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, O Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security. And no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord, though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. This is what the Lord says. Your wound is incurable. Your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your case, no remedy for your sword, no healing for you. All of your allies have forgotten you. They care only for you. I have struck you as an enemy or punished you as with the cruel because your guilt is so great and your sins so many. Why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure, because of your great guilt and many sins? I have done these things to you. But all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies will go into exile. Those who plunder you will be plundered. All who make spoil of you, I will despoil. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast. Zion, for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and of compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be defamed. Their children will be as in days of old, and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. See, the kingdom of the Lord will burst out in wrath. A driving wind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand this. I'll read one more passage of chapter 31, but not the whole chapter. At this time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all of the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and will go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and will enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and will gather them to the end of the earth, from the end of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray, and I will bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not understand, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. And the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. I'm going to cut off there. But you see here, what this means is that he was talking to Israel. But you see, God is still the restorer. And you may say, what do you mean he restores? Oh, you know, he wants to restore you. You say, you know, if I just, maybe I'm new to this whole kingdom of God thing, you know, in that case, how do I get restored?
Well, about that, you know, he wants to make you even better. Why is my house beeping?
Sorry.
What is that?
It's my watch meter. It's alerting me of something. Sorry.
Sorry about that, folks. But anyhow, it even restores beepers. I guess it wants to restore the beeper, but nonetheless, part of that can be, part of that restoration can mean, he can restore marriages. He can restore bodies. We've seen many miracles before. I've known of many miracles before, beyond the Bible, like where people in my church and even others had their bodies restored. Dr. Barclay's wife, in fact, Vicki Barclay, Mrs. B, about 15 years ago, she was diagnosed with a form of cancer that cures. Doesn't cure. It kills most women who get it. It kills the vast majority of women who get it. It's a high-stage cancer. And she was healed of it in 42 days. 42 days. God used surgery or whatever. Won't get into all the details, but God healed her body. She was restored. It was literally as if the cancer didn't happen.
Praise God.
And then also, Dr. Barclay and Vicky's daughter-in-law, Trish, about 2.5 years later or so, had a similar form of cancer. Excuse me, was diagnosed with a certain similar form of cancer. And again, she was restored. Then there's Dr. Barclay's granddaughter, Jaden. She was playing in the pool. At the time, she was about 10. She was playing in the pool at Dr. Barclay, her grandpa and grandma's house. And she did something that some younger children might do. She kind of decided that maybe it was a little bit of a good idea to play with some of the, with some of the drains and stuff. So she put her head near one of them. Her hair gets stuck in one of the drains. And then she kind of goes, down under. They get her out, and her mother and her dad is like, "What's going on?" And they say, "She can't be dead. She can't." And then Dawn and James Randolph, her parents, are crying out to God. "Devil, you get your hands off her right now. We have tither's rights. We're Christians. We're born again." And, that kind of stuff. And eventually she comes to, get her in the ambulance. She comes to. They get over to the hospital, and they say, Where is our actual drowning victim? Our actual person that actually drowned? Because generally when you drown, you're done. You're not coming back. Oh, but God restored. God heard their prayers. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Not just a little bit. Not just once in a while. Not just because it's Christmas or because it's Easter or Thanksgiving or your birthday or, you know, a special occasion. No. They availeth much. It's in the Bible. But, you know, prayers were made in all these different cases. And you know what happened because of these prayers? Restoration. And you know, he doesn't just restore bodies. He can restore relationships. He can restore businesses. He can restore different kinds of things. Maybe even different things. Maybe even something that could have meant a lot to you. Maybe it's something that meant a lot to you. And maybe you lost it. And you want it back. Maybe it's just one of those desires of your heart. And maybe it's not something that he doesn't think, you know, that's a bad thing to have. Did you know that, you know, God wants you to have the desires of your heart? He really does. That includes you families that could be listening with young kids, and maybe, you know, one of your kids wants a certain style of bike, per se. And, you know, as long as your kid's not going to worship that bike, it'll be his desire for that kid to have that bike. You know, whether it be that a certain type of, you know, bicycle or maybe a three-wheel bike and by that I don't necessarily mean a tricycle unless they're super, super little, in which case you need a tricycle. I kind of remember when I was little having a tricycle in my house when I was like, I don't know, 3, 4, I don't know. Did you have a tricycle in your house when you were super, super, super little?
I sure did. I had a tricycle. I had one of those horses. I had a lot of good fun stuff.
Do they still make those tricycles that people put in their house?
They sure do.
But what's different about those ones? Do they actually ride around, or are they actually stationary like the gym ones?
Normally you can ride around on them. They've got those big plastic wheels and they're just fun.
Can you ride them up do they go up the stairs easily?
Not the ones I've seen, which I think every parent is grateful for.
What about the miracle tricycle that rushes up and down the stairs?
I have never heard of that, but I'm going to look into it now that you said that, because that sounds fun.
It's not obvious. I don't know that it's a real thing. I'm just thinking.
Oh.
That it could be a cool one that goes up and down stairs, and if it can't go through it, it'll go over
it. I think that sounds like a good thing you could invent if it's not already out there.
Yes, if God can part the Red Sea, he can create the bike that may be like just a little bouncy, but just as a little bouncy up close to the ceiling, but it does not touch the ceiling, but it goes kind of close because maybe it can't go up and down the actual stairs, but I'm thinking of a way that the kids can still stay on the bike. They will not fall off the bike at all. It'll be awesome. They will stay on their tricycle. And it'll be fun. And But you see, that's what he wants to do. He wants to restore you. Like truly restore. I'm not talking about like when you go to the dentist and they might tell you, we gotta do some restoration work on your teeth today. And I'm sorry to say this, but yeah, we gotta do it. And we gotta do some Novocaine stuff. Oh! it's not like that. Sometimes I wish some of those cavities, you know, I'd be like, you know, if you ask him, he might just restore your teeth right there. Wouldn't that be awesome? And actually restore it to where you won't need that silly filling.
That would be amazing because those fillings, oh, yuck.
Even if you can never taste them or anything once it's all done, you know. I mean, I've had some done, and to me, they might not be the worst thing ever in the world, but it doesn't mean they're pleasant either. I don't mean once they're in. I mean the process of having them put in. Once they're in, you know, not so bad. Mine are the kind that you can't even see unless you're a dentist. I'm blessed with that. Some fillings, you can easily see them, you know. Some fillings you can see, and then they can come out, I lost my filling. Did that ever happen with you where you lost your filling literally just after the appointment?
I have never lost a filling.
How many did you have put in?
One. And
you only ever needed one filling?
Yep. But I also haven't been to the dentist in, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
You probably got some things.
Yeah, let's not discuss that.
I'll leave it alone. But anyhow, yep, he can actually restore those. I'm sure there's miracles out there of people who have had their teeth, you know, restored. I've heard of gold teeth. I don't know how much I believe in that, really. I don't know how true it is.
Oh, there are a lot of gold teeth out there.
But I mean, like, stories where people can say they got gold teeth down from heaven.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
But, like, I mean, if they're golden cavity-free teeth, yeah. I mean, if they're the kind of teeth that can never, ever get a cavity, they'll never, ever have to fill it, you just brush it twice a day. If you just brush it every day and then it's all good, you know?
That would be pretty awesome.
It doesn't need braces. It actually enjoys candy. It actually enjoys, you know, peanut butter even.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Give it some Reese's. It actually needs a daily Tootsie Roll in order to work it out.
Now that is a miracle I could get behind.
Yes. So like you're looking for your daily exercise? The Tootsie Roll. Now you got to do it in order for it to get its exercise for the day. Eat the Tootsie Roll.
I like this plan.
Yes.
Where do I sign up?
Oh, that's the thing. It's not invented. It's just my idea.
Well, I think you have a lovely idea.
Yeah. My anointed gold teeth from God. But you know, but then again, I did say, you know, honestly, the true heavenly gold teeth. I'm not sure that they actually come from heaven. You know, that'd be so cool. I'm trying to think of a verse where God actually says, therefore, I shall cause gold teeth to appear in your mouth, and there will be no cavities. Wait, in the Bible, I don't see anywhere where there's a dentist.
My goodness, you know, I think I could go without the gold teeth if he just promised no cavities.
What? If he could just promise, you know, no cavities ever. You know, you won't have to go to the dentist and get your fillings filled. and all that, and maybe like, you know, you'll just have to have them cleaned at the dentist. But we promise that's all you'll have to do is just get them cleaned. You'll never need to have them filled, guaranteed. If only. You know, maybe if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, that would still be the case. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do and, you know, get your dental work done. And keep that smile on your face. But truth be told, you know, he really does want to restore us. He doesn't just want to bring us back to some form of what we just were that might be better than what we are now. He wants to bring you back. Yeah, and you see those Israelites, he said he wanted to bring them back to what they had. And he wants to, you know, he wants to do even greater things. Part of that restoration can be even greater than what it was before, like a greater anointing, a greater blessing, greater opportunity, greater. You get, yeah, listeners, you're getting the idea. But he wants to truly restore us. And by the way, this whole restoration we talked about, restore, it's not something you get from the store or something you have to take back to the store that you got it from to see whether or not you can get a refund. Like, you know, like what everybody tries to go do on the 26th and 27th of December. Christmas. But nonetheless, you know, we can claim that for ourselves, like for me. For those of you listeners who did not know this, maybe you haven't read my book yet. Or maybe you read it, but somehow you forgot this little part. For the first 3 months of my life, I could actually see. Yes, I could actually see for the first 3 months of my life. I was told that I liked to look at the TV. Well, of course you do. You're a little guy, and of course you like to look at the TV. No wonder it's so hard to keep the little kids away from the TV, right? You know they love their TV.
Well, the colors and the sound and the action.
Yeah, so half of them, but some of them, they just love to look at it. They just love to look at that TV, and that's why you got to seat them back a little bit from that TV.
That's true.
And so, yeah, I was told by my mother that I did. But when I was 3 months old, I had a disease called amaurosis that took my eyesight. But I'm still believing God that eyesight's going to return to me, and it's going to be greater even than what it was when I had it. And I fully and strongly believe that. And I'm believing, you know.
Amen. I believe it too, Rivers.
Amen. And
I do.
For some of you, he wants to, you older folks, he wants to restore, you know, certain things, you know, to your body. That doesn't mean that if you're listening to the show and maybe you're, you know, 70, 80, whatever old is now, who knows, but if you're at a number, at an age number that is, I like to say, you know, instead of saying, you know, someone's getting old, I would just like to say their number is getting a little bit higher. I just like to say, yeah, their number is just getting a little bit higher. A little bit higher. the number of years that they've been on the planet. Is getting, that's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Your number is just getting a little bit higher.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah, yeah. Some of you, your number is just getting, you know, a little bit higher. That doesn't mean that suddenly, we'll say you're 85 or 80 or something. That doesn't mean that suddenly you'll be 40 again. Or 35 again.
You mean I can't reverse my age when I get older? It doesn't start counting backwards?
It's not exactly, but, you know, he can restore your memory. He can restore your memory. He can restore, you know, that strength to you. Yeah, and all that, and that you'll say, I am strong. That doesn't mean necessarily, but you will increase your strength. Because the Spirit of God, for as many as those who are led by the Spirit of God, he shall quicken your mortal body. Mortal body. That means your natural body. That's what he's saying there. And for some of you who have gotten into some sin that you shouldn't have, and maybe as a result of that, maybe you've lost some certain things. God can restore that too, you know. But in order to do that, you got to repent. Got to repent in order to be restored. You can't just be continuing to live in that same sin, or, you know, asking for forgiveness and then decide to go right back into that, what you had been doing, and then just go back and forth over and over and over and over and over again.
So basically you're saying you can't just have a free pass. It's not a free pass.
It's not a free pass. It's not be our guest.
If you never heard the song, don't worry about it. I was going to say, if you're under a certain age, but with that one, doesn't work because it wasn't from, like, you know, the 50s or prior. Because sometimes my pastor will say, if you're under 60, don't worry about it. Back 20 years ago, he would say, if you're under 40, but can't do that no more when you're in the age where people who are over, like, 15, I would say, have a total infatuation with certain things from the 1990s. You know?
Because the 90s were cool.
Yep. And we're not just saying that because we were 90s babies either, but but the truth is it's not quite like how the 60s were in the 90s. It's different. Because in 98, I don't think a lot of the kids then were all thinking the 60s were awesome. You know? It was different, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was.
Like, it was totally a different concept. It really was. But the truth of the matter is, no, there's no free pass. You got to repent. Got to repent. You haven't been living right. Got to repent if you want him to restore you to where he had you. And got to be obedient. Got to be proving yourself to God. you know? And even when man won't forgive you, God will.
Amen.
And we know that because
Amen.
The only unpardonable sin is when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Oh, that means...
see, that means you're totally just, well, in order to blaspheme him, you have to have first been born again. But, you know, but you do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. When you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you'll know it if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You'll know it. You'll feel like the Spirit of God isn't on you anymore. You won't feel any annoying. You won't feel, and if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you don't want to do that. Any other sin, he'll forgive you for. He'll forgive you for things that man won't. But that doesn't mean that you should go and do that stuff and go breaking all the commandments. And by the way, speaking of the commandments, you break one. In a way, you've broken them all.
You got 3 minutes.
In a way, if you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all. You know? Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for every one of these people, every one of these listeners who have tuned into the program. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us, that you are restoring us. You're bringing us back to what you want us to be, to where we want to be with you. Thank you that you're healing our bodies, strengthening our minds, that you're restoring these relationships, even some of these things that we might have, that maybe these things that were valuable to us that maybe we had lost or misplaced or who knows what happened, like with people, whatever, that you're restoring that to us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Master, for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. And I will talk to you all tomorrow.